This computer. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for April 21st, 2020. This is our second one since we took our little hiatus for a bit where everybody was too busy. We had a great talk last week about object capabilities in Pony and CFFI, and we'll have some more stuff coming from that. Before we discuss that a little, let's go around and have everybody say hi. So everybody out there who's listening might know who each of the participants are. So I'm your host today. My name is Sean Allen. Eric, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. I'm Eric. I usually go by Epic Eric on Zulip. I haven't been contributing much, but I'm helping Sean with usually CI and website stuff.
Awesome stuff. Gordon.
Hi, I'm Gordon Tischer, and I'm the perpetrator of the CMake build system that was recently added.
Sorry, was that Joe? Yeah, Joe McElmaine, yes. As well.
Yeah. Ryan.
I'm Ryan Hagenson. I'm actually finally able to join Sync since I'm working from home.
Woo! All right. All it took was a pandemic.
Yeah.
And people say everything is bad. Gotta look on the bright side of life. And one last one, Theo. Theo, say hi.
Hi, I'm Theo Butler.
Boom! You always have such a... I can't think of the word right now. That code that I was mentioning before we started recording melted my brain. So quickly following up on last week's conversation before we get started on anything, Joe, I think I'll spend this weekend and try to write up and put it in that discussions repo that we talked about, do a PR against a new one for that for a first draft of a, this is what we're trying to accomplish from with object capabilities, you know, basically like I'm going to go back through and listen to exactly what we sort of agreed to during the last call and then try and summarize that. We can go from there. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Alrighty. So, I don't have Andy's handy dandy script here. So let's go around the horn looking for stuff. Sorry, okay, I got distracted by an email. Sorry, I saw it come in and I'm very confused by it. So let's see. RFCs, we haven't had any real movement on RFCs for a while. However, there was one I wanted to go back to and have a bit of conversation about. So because I'm running it, I wanted to bump that. Theo, am I correct, right, in that your RFC for behavior call syntax, that was purely a change from dot to the other, and there were no other changes to that, correct?
Let me quickly check just to refresh myself on the content.
Because if that is the case, I would like to have a quick conversation about putting this into final comment period at this point, in just its stripped down form. We certainly had a lot of conversations about should we allow people to vary stuff based on the call site or whatever, so that you don't have to do fun or B, but and that opened up a whole can of worms and sort of derailed the RFC, but I was thinking about it this week and realized, hey, you know, we still have that thing that's really confusing for folks, anybody who's looking at Pony Code, where you can look at three statements in a row and not know if the first one and the third one are synchronous and then the second one is asynchronous. So I definitely wanted to bring this RFC back to life and hopefully, I'm hopeful, get it accepted and make everything a little bit easier to follow along with.
Yeah, so the only changes are from, you know, using dot to the tilde, and mm-hmm. the consequence of that also being the change in syntax of partial application.
Oh, right. Yes. Yes.
And the what this RFC proposes is to just swap that out in the case of partial application for the dollar sign.
Yeah.
Which is just because it's currently unused as far as I'm aware. And fairly common in other languages. Although not for this reason necessarily.
Does anybody on this call have any objection to putting this into final comment period?
The current text of the RFC, it seems like right now we're not covering the point about being able to like call an otherwise like let's see, yeah, choosing at the call site whether something is going to be synchronous or asynchronous. It seems like we're the current suggestion from Sean and Theo sounds like we want to just like leave that for a future RFC and try to move this through with only the syntax change, but not like that added flexibility or whatever. Is that appropriate? Correct. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see that stuff happen too, but I have no problem with making iterative progress toward it. I don't think adopting this in its current form is going to block that. The only thing about the dollar sign is I think I at one point mentioned using the dollar sign for something, and Andy, not today's Andy, but yesterday's Andy, sort of one of the original authors of all of the code, Andy.
Andy McNeil.
Thank you. He brought up that dollar sign is currently used internally for hygienic names. Hygienic names being names that are like guaranteed not to conflict with any names that that were provided in the actual source code. So there may be potential issues internally with using the dollar sign. They're not like, I don't think anything would be like a blocker for it, but it just might add, it might be a little bit to people be aware of if they're going to be implementing this. There might be a little bit to work around there. But I don't have any problem with the dollar sign. I guess I would just, I'm curious whether anyone is aware of a partial application syntax from another language that might be appropriate here. I'm not familiar with any languages using dollar sign for this purpose, but as Theo said, it is available for us, unlike many other symbols.
I would also like to mention that sort of on a separate topic, this RFC as it is currently, I believe it implies that the B keyword will no longer exist if this were to go through.
I didn't understand that to be the case because I thought we were decoupling that from the rest of it. But I see.
So like at the bottom for the unresolved questions, it says, you know, should the B keyword continue to exist just to enforce that the call, like the compiler will do a check to say, hey, are all the parameters to this sendable and therefore can it be used to be called asynchronously?
I think that under Sean's suggestion, we would not be including that scope here to,
yes,
to it, it would get rid of B or replace it with anything else. Like Fun and B would continue to work as they do, and we would just use tilde at the call site instead of dot for any B or actor new.
Right, okay.
The other alternative would be to try to go ahead and push through and include that in this RFC and then get the whole thing.
I when we started discussing that, it opens up a really large can of worms, right? And which I don't think is going to be resolved anytime soon. Whereas I think saying B and Fun stay, B is async, Fun is synchronous, and we're going to change what you do at the call site for calling a B. And basically the what do you call that little symbol anyway, the one that's currently for partial application?
Tilde.
That is a tilde. Oh yeah, it is. I knew that. I was okay. Anyway, I'm pleading the LTP code on that one, Theo. But yes, so that that tilde basically becomes message sent. Right? It's a message send one. This is an asynchronous operation. Yes. It's a message send, which
and also create on an actor.
Yes, create, well, because that is a message send right now. That's asynchronous. Yeah, and that would also, you know, help make that clearer that the create is currently a
asynchronous. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm having thoughts here that we may not be able to decouple this from the conversation about being either gone or changed. The issue I'm thinking of is that, assuming we don't change that, right, we have in several cases in the standard library and elsewhere, people creating interfaces with fun tag being equivalent to B, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if I have an actor with some behaviors and I have an interface for the actor where the behaviors are represented as fun tag, and I call the interface, it would be a dot, and if I call the actor, it would be a tilde. And does that work? Does that cause problems?
That's yes. This is oh god, yes. Oh God!
Wait. Why are people doing that? Sorry to interrupt.
it's a reasonable question.
Where our scientists quickly do a control F through the standard library to see when and why this is done.
I think the reasoning, if I recall correctly, was something along the lines of like I think I heard Sylvan explain it one time. That basically the purpose was to allow a non-actor implementation of that interface.
Oh.
But I'm not sure that's actually useful because whatever that would be, it would have to be stateless, right?
I know Dippin is the person who more than anybody else I associate that with, because he was doing something where he was running into problems making that work, right? The only time I ever do fun tag is for things which are called from inside a constructor, but I'm going looking for other instances of fun tag right now.
I mean, I think we have a few in Wallaroo where, for various reasons, we want to have a tag reference to something, and are we calling an actor inside the class?
You know, fun tags use a lot on some machine word primitives, but that's kind of
really but that's just
that's different.
Yeah, that's different.
here's one.
Tests actually for a test list is a fun tag, right?
Yeah, but that wouldn't be affected by this though, I believe.
Yeah,
I think it's just a fun tag because they want to be able to call it on.
It gets called when it gets called from the constructor. Yeah, that's the Sean reason.
Yeah.
Oh, look, here I put one on registrar. Why did I do that?
Because it's the other thing to look for is I'm looking at interface tag as well. So the interface tag appears to all be behaviors. So maybe this is not in the standard library as much as I thought it was.
I'm not finding it in the standard library.
But you put it on registrar, you say.
There's the apply method on registrar is fun tag, yes. I feel like that was a change that happened at some point. In my mind, it's associated with you for some reason, Joe. I don't know why.
Here we go. 4 years ago, add doc strings. I think that wasn't it. I was looking at different. I think the answer is maybe that it was written by Sylvan.
Sylvan
did use this pattern commonly. I mean, not to say that it's bad or good, just saying that. Like I remember him defending this pattern and using it. But again, I don't think it's strictly necessary. Just that I think he was defending that it was a valid pattern from a type system perspective. And I guess the idea being that you could have some dependency injection mock version of this that doesn't do anything and doesn't have to be an actor or have the actor message passing overhead or something. But I think that confuses the issue more than I don't see any huge benefits to doing it. So it could be we just replace the things we need to replace.
But it does I think you're right. It has bigger ramifications. Even if this is something that's rarely done, it has bigger ramifications. Because my doing an interface with fun tag, the compiler is going to allow me to use fun tag that can be fulfilled by either an actor or a class. And then at least as it stands right now, where behaviors are basically fun tag, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So if we go through with this RFC, we should, and we don't do the agnostic behavior stuff that we were talking about, but you can do it synchronously. We should, and maybe even if we do that, we should add to the scope of this RFC that the compiler should no longer treat fun tag and B as equivalent. And B requires the tilde. And fun tag does not use the tilde and does not pass a message.
Yeah. Although
arguably, you could always wrap a fun tag in a B, right? Like if you wanted to, that's the other interesting thing about this RFC in general. Like if people are relying on this information of tilde, somebody could actually intentionally or unintentionally deceive you into thinking that a call is synchronous by wrapping a B in a fun tag. I've wrapped Bs in fun tags before for various reasons. Like one reason was to create the promise for you, right? And is that why you did it in registrar?
Probably, yes.
That might be why it's in that mm-hmm. way in registrar.
Yep.
Yeah. So this is the pattern, right? You create a promise inside of the fun tag, and then you return the promise because behaviors can't return a promise. You can't return anything.
Yeah.
But that
is a synchronous call. There, you get the promise back, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is a synchronous call. I guess just the thing is, we should be wary about relying too much on the idea that everything that happens when you see a dot is synchronous. It's like it can kick off asynchronous effects.
And there's yes.
no way of being aware that that's happening or not happening.
Correct. Yes.
Maybe that's not a problem. Just wanted to raise it.
Okay. I don't think there is, because eventually every somewhere down a call chain, probably every function eventually in any real pony program is going to interact with some type of actor type thing, or at least a lot of them, you know?
Yeah.
In an asynchronous fashion. So
anyway, either way, I think we should make the compiler no longer treat B and fun tag the same if we do this.
I'm trying to think through what the ramifications of that are. B. But yes, I think that we need to amend it to include that for the RFC, right? I think that needs to be part of the RFC that B and Funtag are no longer the same thing.
And that would let you know, it would raise to our attention any other places that are using that pattern. I think the one in registrar would remain because it is.
Yes. Yeah, that's, I think this would only impact on where you've done a interface with fun tag, right? Yeah. That you want to have it apply to either a class or a actor. And I know Dippin has definitely done that. Or tried to. Whether he was ever actually able to make it really work or not, I don't know, for whatever he was trying to accomplish. But I think that's definitely different than the fun tag on an actor, right? Because then that would I would still say that's registrar apply, right? It's here's another one while I'm looking at registrar. Does the update sugar, is that only for fun update or is that for B update?
It would be for either.
Oh, okay. So
the update sugar would become modified, right? It would have to have the tilde if you wanted to keep that. I'm not sure.
RFC has
sugar for apply, but not for.
Okay, I'll add that for update as well.
So it wouldn't just be the parentheses. It would be tilde parentheses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate all the sugar.
I had never considered an update on as like a behavior.
I know, but I'm looking at one right now. It's the only reason why it really? Occurred to me.
Wait, what is that?
it's the first method on registrar in my beautifully named bureaucracy package.
Yeah, I've never I've very rarely actually looked at that.
Well, the best part about the bureaucracy package is the description.
Yes, I have read that. It's very fun.
The best part is that it's hard to use because nobody can remember how to spell it. That's the best part of the package.
Hey.
Hey.
It's bureaucracy. How hard is that?
Bureau.
Thank you.
Bureaucracy. It's easy.
I hear your words, Sean, and yet.
look, no, every time I go to spell it, I can't. And then I have to remind myself, no, Sean, it's easy. It's bureaucracy. And then I can spell it. Seriously, okay.
I'm just going to admit that I'd probably mess up spelling bureau if I wasn't given a few chances. I believe you, and it totally makes sense. But
I think you need to stop calling that thing a dresser and start calling it a bureau, and then before long, you won't have any problems whatsoever.
Yeah, stop calling it a dresser and start spelling it every time. Yes. As if you're at a spelling bee. Euro. B-U-R-E-A-U-X. Darn it.
I'm in Kansas. We don't spell things anymore.
Oh, Andy, you never at the beginning said hi with your
Nuclear
voice.
So. Hi, I'm Andy Turley.
Yes. Okay. Good. There. We did that. I'll just go back and fix that in post.
You can't just say fix it in post.
Are you sure? Okay. So Theo, you're going to make updates to that, and we'll touch base on it again next week.
Yeah. Sure. I'm adding the update sugar update, and also adding that the compiler will no longer treat fun tag as equivalent to a behavior.
Yeah.
So does somebody want to like ping dip in or something, or check through the Wallaroo code base
I just looked in the Wallaroo code base. I was wrong. I thought John was doing something with fun tags, but the only ones that I'm seeing are for tests. So
I really think it's just dipping. I think it's just dipping. Oh, wait, was he doing stuff though where there's like a trait and it's a, and there's an, for it, you're testing an actor with it where it's a fun tag instead of a behavior? Andy, is that what you're saying when it's only for tests?
Yeah, I'm only seeing it for tests here.
I think he means test lists, Sean.
What do you mean, Andy?
Sorry, yeah, test lists. Sorry,
oh, okay.
The tests method on tests. Sorry, fun tag tests. From test list. Yeah. And I guess we have a Rand MT2 pony that seems to use fun tag. Do I really even want to look at this? Probably don't. Do I?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I'm sure I've used it somewhere in some of my libraries as well. Because at one point, Sylvan had me convinced that it was best practice.
Sounds like Sylvan was trolling you.
I mean, I use fun tag.
The more often you say fun tag, the funnier it sounds.
Fun tag.
Keep going.
So I have a quick question. Sorry to interrupt the fun tags.
Please.
So in the RFC, there is a mention that this RFC will add synchronous actor constructors as a language feature. Do we still want to include that, or do I want that to
No, we should. I would like to pull that out for now.
That's what I thought. Okay, I'll make a list of things in the RFC that are postponed for future RFCs.
Yeah.
Cool. That's the one.
Now we need some kind of rewrite tool like the one I did for partial call sites with the adding in the question mark based on parsing the errors from the compiler. That was fun. This is going to break a lot of stuff, but yeah.
Wait, what's going to break a lot of stuff?
Oh, I mean, you're going to have tilde everywhere where it was dot before.
Oh, yes, I know. I think it's a good thing long term.
I agree. Yeah, I'm just saying that it could be nice to have a little script like that.
I became convinced it was the right thing when somebody was in beginner help and they're like, "Why isn't this doing what I think it's doing?" Right, and it took me 20 minutes to realize that step two of three steps was asynchronous, and that's why step three wasn't doing what was expected, you know?
Yeah.
And particularly, I think probably more than anything else, this is mostly problematic for, like, I've seen it when you're when you have a notify class which has a reference to an object, you know, which holds it, and then you're calling methods or behaviors inside of the notify on the actor that's holding it, and you can lose track of the fact that some of those things might be behavior rather than a function.
I was recently writing up some Pony documentation for work, and John and myself basically trying to justify it and being like, this might look weird to you and might seem like a problem, but don't worry about it. It's cool.
That behavior and fun are the same?
Yeah. It's like, you can't tell them apart at the call site, but don't worry. It's cool. It's cool.
Which seems really weird, seeing how we're like, you should be able to see at the call site when a thing could create an error, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the highest things that people come in asking is, how do I send a message?
Yeah. Well,
because it's not clear that that's what's happening.
Right. I think that, yeah. In the documentation that I wrote like a whole paragraph about, this is actually sending a message.
Yes. I mean, most people, it seems, when they come in, if they're like familiar with Erlang or whatever, do not take this happens asynchronously to mean this is a message sent.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. People, there's really no, I can't think of other languages that are like this, where, you know, the message send is basically part of the syntax like that, and it looks exactly like a function call or a method call or whatever. Anyway, people come in with their own biases. Their biases, I think, drive some of their issues, which is fine. That's how we all are.
Yeah, and neither this nor explicit partial calls were present at the start of Pony, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it was one of those things that we, I think, learned as a community. So I just added a comment to the RFC with a link to the script that I did for explicit partial calls, which is still just on GitHub Gist, that has some nice looking bash that will rewrite.
Is there any other kind?
Nice looking bash is an oxymoron, isn't it?
No, nice it's not. That's the only kind of bash there is.
It'll rewrite files based on error output from the compiler. So when the compiler says, like, oh, this needs to be using an explicit, you need a question mark here for explicit partial calls, then the script will put one there and save the file. We might want to consider something similar for this. If anyone's going to be migrating big code bases, and I imagine a lot of us will be, this would be pretty useful. But it should be a blocker for the RFC, obviously. It's something that would be a nice idea, and I wanted to share that existing script there. Somebody could base it on this and make a few changes, probably, and it would work.
We could say, however, that we're accepting the RFC conditional to there being a auto upgrade path. That's something we can discuss. Right, like a script to make it happen that people can run. We're past the halfway point for today. I do have something I would like to discuss beyond that. We don't really have a lot of issues or PRs to discuss. So does anybody have anything they would like to discuss? Otherwise, I'm going to do mine.
Five, go for it.
4, 3, 2, 1. And unrelated to, before I start my thing, so I live right on the East River here in New York right now, and when storms come in sometime, it can look like the end of the world is coming, and I have to say that watching people run down the street to get away from the sky opening up right now, while wearing masks is just extra apocalyptic looking.
I'm seeing the definitely, same thing here in Philadelphia.
you have the same thing happening right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, normally it looks like the end of the world is coming. Now we like people running in masks as well. It just makes it extra apocalyptic. Extra. Okay, so my thing was I brought this up in Zulip, but didn't get much feedback. So all of our scripts, which currently build our releases, are bash scripts, right, which are responsible for powering the bash scripts. And there's a lot of duplication between those. But the duplication is there because I thought it would be easier for if you're ever fixing a problem to be able to go in, look at the script fairly easily and figure out what's going on, seeing how doing modular bash code is not the easiest thing in the world, is basically, you know, more like a pattern than an actual language feature, et cetera. And a realization I had the other day is that literally every environment where we're running those scripts, we also are running the Cloudsmith stuff to upload to Cloudsmith. So I was thinking that given that Cloudsmith is in Python, that it might make our lives much easier in the long run to take those bash scripts and turn them into Python ones, where then we could use, you know, Python standard module and function type stuff in order to make it easier to support, in order to make it easier to support those build things going forward. I wanted to get people's feedback and thoughts on that, if they had any objection to it being Python rather than bash.
And these are scripts that just run as part of automated processes that like people developing Pony don't need to run locally?
These are the scripts that get run. So that is, you raise an interesting point there actually, Joe. So the normal use case for these is they're only run in Docker containers, where the Python stuff is already installed. When we're doing releases, in order to create a package and then upload to Cloudsmith, right? I'm the only person I think who has ever run these in a non-automated fashion. Usually when after some release thing has happened and something gets messed up. And in those cases, I've always spun up the Docker container locally and still run them inside the container. So this wouldn't create a requirement for anybody to have to install Python on their machine.
Yeah, and specifically like the right version of Python and the right version of
yes.
the library, et cetera. So yeah, I'm in favor as long as we have that sort of isolated that way.
Okay. Yeah. The big thought behind this being is that over time these things are probably going to get bigger. There is a lot of duplication, as Theo pointed out in Zulip at one point, and was like, how come this isn't one script? And I was like, well, because I thought it would be easier to make changes, like, you know, if it wasn't one script, you don't have to worry about breaking other things. But if this was in Python, I think it would be much easier to structure it so that there's a series of reusable functions, and you know with those functions that they could cross a whole bunch of things. And then they're, you know, basically have a main thing, you know, that the Python thing enters into and can string together things, you know, as it needs to in order to make it happen for each one. So, anybody other than Joe with thoughts? How about you, Andy, who I muted? I assume you're in favor of turning Bash into Python?
Yes, sorry, I was being loud. I am in favor. I'm glad you asked, even though you knew the answer.
Well, you know, like, assumptions, you know?
I know, but you've yeah. You've been around for enough of my rants. You knew what I was going to say. Thank you for checking.
Friends don't let friends write bat scripts more than 10 lines.
Come on.
Say bye-bye to this big, beautiful batch.
That I wrote all of? It's not beautiful if I wrote it, Joe.
I just wanted to use some alliteration, Sean.
Give the man his alliteration.
I have no basis for deciding what is beautiful bash or not, but I'm just pretty sure mine's ugly.
Bash is never beautiful because you can't have a space around your equal sign. That's the problem. Everything else is fine.
That's the problem, yes. We've identified the problem with bash.
The rain is going sideways at the moment. This is impressive. All right. Does anybody have anything else?
When you started speaking, I thought you were going to suggest that this get turned into GitHub Actions instead of having duplicated bash scripts, or in this case, if we migrate to Python scripts. I'm not sure if it would make the process easier and less with less duplication.
So, having written a couple of GitHub Actions now, I don't think that that would help. It would make it harder to harder to recover from a failure scenario. At least a little. It's pretty close to being like a GitHub action in the sense it's run in GitHub Actions, and when a particular event happens, it triggers very specifically just running one of these scripts, right? About the only difference between that and having it as a prepackaged GitHub one, GitHub action, is that it's a little bit easier to, like, you have a little more flexibility in how you can figure it and whatnot. But it's basically just about the same even right now.
Mm-hmm. I see. And since you're basically the only person who's going to be running these manually,
hopefully nobody is ever running them manually, because them being run manually means that something has broken. Yeah. Right? Almost all the time they get run automatically. Like you tag it, you push it, and those scripts get run as part of a series of steps that happen, right? Where X thing happens and it basically posts a GitHub event, which then triggers something else happening, et cetera, and somewhere in here these scripts get run. Right. If something goes wrong in the process of the building, which has happened on like two or three occasions, where it's very specifically the first time it's been run after I made a change, right now, because I'm the one who's been maintaining them, then I've fixed the bug and then manually rerun it. Because it was already partway through a process and that was the step that needed to happen, right? And then it would kickstart the process, because the way I set up the release stuff is that each one of our release, each one of the steps that happens during a release, of which there are like four, they are their own independent steps in GitHub with events that hook them up. So if, like, say step two fails, right? You don't have to rerun it or undo what step one did. You can just pick it up from what step one would have done to trigger step two. You do that trigger yourself, and then it will cause the next thing to happen, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So if I gave the impression that these are normally run manually or intended to be run manually, that's not the case at all. We got rid of the manual running of those, like, quite of a release script quite some time ago. I don't know about quite some time ago. That was many months ago, though, when I set it up so that it'd be completely automated. Well, not completely automated. You push a tag to GitHub, and it kicks it off. Any issues that people want to discuss, PRs on anything?
There's the open Simlink PonyLibs PR.
It was failing last time I looked. Is it not failing anymore?
I'm not sure if the failure is related. Let me check. It's only the Linux muscle one, which is, okay, maybe that's concerning.
Linux muscle, that was as far as I got. I saw, oh, Linux muscle one. Oh, that's concerning. And stopped looking, to be honest. It was like, I'm gonna go back to the work thing, which has me really frustrated because I don't know why that would fail.
That's fair. I'm looking at it and the log is very unhelpful. I might just want to like repush and see if it fails again because it seems completely unrelated.
Yeah, and the other thing you could, whoa, why can't it find standard atomic? That's weird. Yeah, that looks like, wow, that just, yeah, you should definitely push and see what happens.
All right, wait, can I just rerun?
Yes, I'm hitting rerun right now because I'm logged in. Yeah, I just restarted it because that is weird.
Okay, yeah. That didn't seem related.
Yeah, Cirrus has a rerun button, but you have to be logged in.
That's fine, I'm logged in.
I apparently was logged in. Most of the time I'm logged out and I'm like, where's that rerun button? And I'm like, oh, right, I'm not logged in. So there we go.
Okay.
All right. Let me take a look here real quick.
I have a PR on Corel to build on Windows.
Oh, you do? When did that happen and how did I not notice that?
Well, it happened while we were both sick.
Oh, wait. Oh, whoa, oh, whoa, 27 days ago. Hey, it looks like it passed. Wow. Yes. Every time I see Carl's picture on Corral stuff or anywhere else, I feel sad. So this will build and it does...
And it should hopefully put packages on.
Oh my God, that's such a better fix than. Oh, that's a much better fix than my PR. Oh, that's so much smarter. Oh, this is gonna fix my stupid. So the compiler now it has compiled with in the capital C, and before it was just looking for it with all lowercase, right? And the output, the standard output now is a capital C instead of lowercase. And Gordon wisely just did, I'll take the standard out and turn it into lowercase. Whereas I stupidly, while I was sick, opened a PR that couldn't be done until the next final full release where it changed the lowercase C to an uppercase C in the string it was looking at because I think I was sick, Gordon. Because I'm looking at yours, I'm like, oh, that's smart. Mine was not smart. Okay, so ooh, that's a lot of PowerShell. Mm.
Big, beautiful PowerShell.
I don't think that big, powerful PowerShell.
Retrieving a powerful PowerShell. Yes.
Purely palatable?
Unpalatable PowerShell.
Okay, so this adds a make. Oh, it adds a release too, and it uploads to Cloudsmith and everything. Oh my God, this is gorgeous. I love this. This is beautiful. Add Windows support. I'm changing the title. Okay. Labels. Change log added. Boom. Boom. big, beautiful Goyse. Should this be squashed? This should be squashed, yes?
Yeah, it should be squashed.
Okay. Oh, this is so gorgeous. And then we can close my stupid PR. Just remember, people in the pony community, it's not stupid. Whatever you're doing, it's not a problem. It's related to something else. It's only in this case I was stupid. Okay. Gorgeous. Beautiful, gorgeous PR. Now we can close mine. Which you then approved is you approved my stupid change, Gordon.
We were both sick or something.
Oh, that was a dumb change on my part. All right, boom. I did not know about that. Anything else that might have been missed that we want to get? Oh, wait, here's a pull request. Oh, wow, it's from Carl from January 6th. Whoa, this is a big... This is a big one. If somebody has a chance at some point to look at 79, that would be great, because it was an awful lot of work that Carl did to start bringing in Sembar stuff and some other stuff. We should take a look at it. I'll probably do that. There's a lot of good work that was in there to pick up and see, and I would definitely like to get Carl's last work that he was able to do in. So. I'll look at that at some point. Let's see. What version are we at, by the way? Okay, so that would be 032. I'll do a new issue for that. Release 032. And I will pin it. All right. Did Carl do it in a whoa, lightning? Okay, it's coming from a fork of his. So who won a fork? Just because I'm paranoid, I'm going to fork Carl's fork right now. I don't think that his stuff is going to go away, but you never know. All right, so we can pick that up. Okay, 5 minutes left. Anything else?
So the Simlink PR has failed again the same way. I think something might have changed in the environment that it's running in, because it's the problem is that it's failing to find studatomic.h again.
Yes, the Docker file the Docker file that it runs in was changed, right? The Docker container, but the only change it could be that they changed something in Muscle, but if you look at the Docker file here, it's Pony CCI Docker files x86-64, the Muscle Builder, right? There was an update by me to Alpine 3.11 on December 19th. I pushed the changes at the same time. And then 2 days ago, I added Clang to the CI Builder images, right? And
also, it might be related to the clang change.
So I added clang, which in theory shouldn't have removed the standard atomics, but might have in some fashion.
I've run into this sort of issue when switching to clang in the past. So
Oh right, because it's because we're building with clang, we're using clang now. Yeah. So clang might not be able to find it. So yeah, so there's probably something for that environment where we now need this. Yeah,
we might need to install, I don't know. I'll check.
Yeah, so the way that I usually go about those is you know, I build the image locally, you know, and test it and make sure it works, and then push it, and then do a PR which updates both the Docker file and you know, anything which references it, so that it updates to use the new image.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the smartest way, but I think I'm the one who does more of those, so I figured I'd just pass along what I normally do. It works for me. Anything else? Alrighty then. We'll say goodbye for this week and on to next week's one. And I will stop recording right about now. Goodbye, folks.